Oh yeah. It's that time. Enough of that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Literal Literature Podcast. The, of course, as you can tell from what I've just done there, the Game of Thrones episode. Oh my God. I am, of course, Sam Sheldon, joined as always by...
It's me, Howard Greater. I've come from the Shires of Oxford to tell you of an ancient promise, Yuletide giftings. I've lost my train of thought.
he's bringing the goods, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, everybody.
He's bringing them all here.
Hello, literal titlers. Oh my God, it's good to see you. We're nearly... Oh, in fact, this is the day. This is post-lockdown day. We're out. We're ready. We're running around kissing people on the face.
We're here right now. It's happening. We're not in the same room still. We will never be in the same room.
No,
ever,
I don't ever wish to see you again. It's bad enough I have to look at you on Zoom.
Have we ever mentioned on the podcast that the last time we saw each other was roughly about 5 to 7 days before the very first lockdown in a Wetherspoons?
I think we did mention that once. Yeah,
we have mentioned it. I just think I should remind people again.
That. Yeah, it was extraordinary. Oh, yeah, and we were talking about Corona a lot, weren't we? And I think we were beginning to recognize it for what it was.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I think we were both like, we knew it was a thing in terms of like the virus going around, but I think in my head I was sort of going with a swine flu thing of a few people will get it, it'll be around for a little bit, but it'll probably go relatively quickly. How wrong I was, Howard. Yeah. What a silly billy.
Brought the Western world to its knees. China's taking notes. They can't do well with diseases.
So, coronavirus aside, which is of course still raging, but we are now, as you said, running around the streets naked, just rubbing ourselves on windows,
licking lamp
stations. It's a free for all out there, Howard. But this week, you were tasked with what is one of the quintessential modern fantasy novels. The very first part in the Song and Ice and Fire. Song of Ice and Fire?
I don't know, mate.
Ice and Fire saga.
Yeah. That sounds, really sufficiently fucking stupid enough. The Song of Ice and Fire. All right, George, have another bagel.
All right, George. Settle down.
George R. R. Martin. Ooh. He definitely wants to be like Tolkien, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, with the RR in there, I think
that's
is
not. There's no accident there.
Definitely not.
Aww.
So it's now known to all our fandom that you are not a fan yourself of the fantasy genre.
I'm not. Do you know what? It's not like I'm not completely against it, right? I reasonably enjoy Lord of the Rings. I don't think it's as good as a lot of people say it is.
See, I'll agree with you there as well, to be honest, as a fantasy fan.
Right. By and large, you know, castles, torches, chainmail, broadswords, dwarves, elves, pixies. It just turns me off. It's not my vibe. I like a forest. I like green stuff. I like sort of like that kind of aesthetic. I like barren wastelands like Mad Max. I like, you know, dystopia. I like zombies. I like things to be gritty or plush. I don't like watching a movie where I know that all of the men haven't washed and their dicks stink. You know what I mean?
What?
Like, it's that kind of medieval vibe.
Okay, but you're telling me that you think that all the men in The Walking Dead have clean penises. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Do you know what? You're wrong. It was a dumb joke, and I didn't mean it. I don't like
Howard Greater
swords and armor and pointy ears.
There is many a scene in a fantasy film and novel where people bathe in rivers. I don't see that happening all that often in The Walking Dead, mate.
Oh, it happens all the time, mate.
Nah, they're sweaty, disgusting Georgia people.
Sweaty, disgusting Georgia people. Hello to our fans in Georgia. That's what Sam thinks of you.
Please cut that out.
I'm not going to.
Oh, no! No, oh, I don't know. No, to the fans in Georgia, that
no,
was
he
not...
Meant, of course, was, you, meant, people know what know. We. People know what you meant, mate. And if they don't, then they're thick.
Oh, yeah, I
don't know. I'm just talking and talking and talking. But yeah, by and large, I don't love that aesthetic. It's the aesthetic that I'm not. I don't like it. It's not for me. You know, and that's okay.
It is okay, and I forgive you.
I like westerns, and I love space westerns. I think The Mandalorian might be the best thing I've ever seen.
Okay, nice.
I really love it. I think it's so good.
I mean, that can get a little bit chainmail-y, a little bit fantasy swordsy.
What are you talking about?
Star Wars, come on, mate.
It's sci-fi, you prick.
Yeah, but there's swords and armour. Come on.
There's not come swords on. And armour.
Yeah, come on. If you agree, write into us, everybody.
But it's a different kind of sword and armour. That sword glows, you bell, and the armour is made of, like, whatever it's called. It's armour, but it's spacey armour. It looks different. It's the look that is my problem, right?
It's purely aesthetic. Everything.
I don't like the aesthetic of, like, elven fucking nonsense. Next to come was man. He was greedy. Oh, but the elves knew all. And they had a special glowing necklace that made everyone cry.
Oh, good
fuck
grief.
Off. Anyway, yeah, there you go.
That is, there you go. This is the... Oh, dearie me. Well, I mean, before we get any further into it, I feel like, I mean, we now that we've established your hate.
It's not hate.
Further.
It's not hate. I just find it ridiculous. And I'm aware that I like a lot of things that are ridiculous. But it's taste, isn't it? But I don't hate it at all. Anyway, carry on.
That's totally fine. I think, Howard, should we give this over to the people? Should we get this train rolling? Now, before I get you to, you know, give us your little preamble, I just need to clarify something. All the men in your story have incredibly clean genitalia? I think we just need to get this.
It was a big stipulation for me. In fact, if you go back and listen to all the podcasts I've done, every single one of my characters have like squeaky clean C's and B's and V's.
It's something that I think I'm going to keep with me for a long time, that one of your main gripes with fantasy is because all the men have possibly dirty penises.
It was just a way to you know, it's... all right. That's not what... Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't like them.
Go on, mate. Go on.
All right, well, first I will caveat this by saying that there are a few characters in this show that I made the mistake of not saying their name at the top of the scene because mine and Sam's impressions... are not strong enough.
Oh, yeah. Mine are shocking. I feel like I should apologise for mine. Bloody hell.
I think I'm just going to... Before we go, I'm just going to read them out now. So, come with me, people on a tale, and join me as I take you down the rabbit hole with my good friends... Richard Osmond, Alexander Armstrong, Jeremy Clarkson, Chris Tarrant, Paddy McGuinness, Freddie Flintoff, Jeremy Paxman, John Humphreys, Victoria Corrin Mitchell, Stephen Fry, David Mitchell, Gino DeCampo, Rylan Clark Neal, Keith Lemon, Ben Shepherd, an ominous voice and an answering machine. And listen, please, if you will, to my version of A Game of Thrones.
Hello,
Long ago, an ancient war raged. Many neighbouring realms, BBC, ITV Andor, the Land of the Skies, Channel 5 around, through gritted teeth and with noses bloody did battle and clamour for ratings and inflated wages. And when the battles were over, they were repeated in Challengeland and Dayville. Backs were stabbed, alliances crushed, and people were nude all the time for seemingly no reason. The weapon of choice for each of these realms? Quiz shows. The land was littered with quiz shows, with varying styles and strengths. So many bloody quiz shows. Each realm made do with the quiz shows they had, and for a time, all was calm. A strange peace enveloped the land, until one day, one fateful day, when something new darkened each realm's horizon. Huzzah!
What is it, Master?
I light the beacons, ride to every corner of the four realms, for the people must know that I, Richard Osman, purveyor of all that is light entertainment, have in my capacity as ex-producer and housewife's favourite weird crush, created a new quiz show, the likes of which none have seen before.
Brilliant, Master. May I host?
Of course not, Xander, you blithering dolt. Pointless would be nothing without our trademark gentle humour and good cheer. And take those trousers off at once. This is an HBO parody, for we must all be completely nude.
Very good, sir. I'll away to spread the news at once. Oh, and Master?
Yes?
What is this new quiz show to be called?
A Game of Thrones.
Never mind, don't say it.
Why not?
I'm sorry, it's too obvious. I think everyone knew what was coming. Let's give the people a little credit and just leave it unsaid.
Very well. Now go. Tell the people. Tell them all. To the victors go the spoils. Yeah. Yeah. And so the news was spread far and wide. Lord Osman had a new primetime slot, one which would hold dominion over all. A most prized possession indeed. The first to hear of the news were two kings. One new and terrifying, the other usurped and downbeat, and into trains.
My God, a new show. Just think of the power I could wield on an Osman joint.
But I don't want to give you that, and neither will Richard. He knows the sorts of things you do to producers.
Those days are behind me, I swear. I am the most calm, serene, and well-balanced TV host in the world.
Care for a sandwich?
I don't want cold fucking food! I'll kill you, you bastard!
Hold your horses, Jeremy. The Eye of Osman is never far away. Perhaps this new venture calls for an elder statesman of the game show world. Someone with experience, poise, and a jolly old steam engine enthusiast's demeanor.
Let it go, Chris, you washed up old has-been. Face it, your hosting days are over. People were bored of the tired old model and traded you in for a marginally less tired and old model. Osman's game show will be mine.
Oh, really? You think you're unstoppable? That's the wrong answer.
What are you talking about?
I've had just about enough of your shit, Jeremy. You stole the one thing that people remembered me for.
What about Tiswas?
Yeah, well, soon that'll be forgotten by anyone old enough to remember it. And now I'm forced to stuffle for TV scraps left on the floor by producers and host shows about trains. Anyone can ride a train. What's the point of me anymore?
Sometimes you've got to face the music, bucko. I'm hip. I'm relevant, and no one does it better than me.
I beg to differ. I'm afraid I've made an alliance, Jeremy. An alliance with the North.
Oh, do.
Hey up, Duck.
Paddy? Freddy? No, it can't be.
Sorry, Flower. I'm afraid you're no match for one of England's greatest all-rounders. Car shows, comedy panel vehicles, musicals inexplicably. There's nowt I can't do.
And I was friends with Peter Kay once. You can't compete with something like that.
Feel the power of our regional lilt.
I'll never forgive you for this, Chris.
And with a flash of intense light, Jeremy was transformed into part of an eagle. Just the right wing, as I understand it. And flew off, never to be seen again.
Thank you, boys. Now to travel southwards and collect my prize.
Sorry, Petal. No one stops me. Soon I will host all the shows. Such power is within me.
And with that, mood and afraid, Chris breathed his last.
Nice one, Chuck. Let the flesh see the dagger. What the? Freddy, I thought we were buddies.
Nothing stops me. And like that, McGinnis was gone. I am Lord of all. I am a Lancashire powerhouse. I am to host the game of...
And then a dragon ate him. All died incredibly unexpectedly. It cost 30 million to shoot. Armstrong rode forth and spread the news further. In the land of the great thinkers, word of a new opportunity hit hard, and painfully like a ton of bricks.
Right, I'm sure we're all familiar with the rules of this conversation, so let's not waste more time. I'll start with 10. How do we, the conglomerate of intellectuals, that reside in the land of the great thinkers, work out who, if any, are to be put forward from this realm to fight, bargain, or barter for a hosting role in Richard Osman's exciting new quiz show format, A Game of... Humphreys, Cardiff High School.
Should it not perhaps be a simple matter of seniority? I, for example, have hosted Mastermind with tenacious fervour for 17 years. The show was held in particularly high esteem throughout the quizzing world, and despite my advancing years, I am confident that I... I've started, so I'll finish. I'm confident that I... What was I saying?
Corin Mitchell, Oxford.
This is the thing. It's so interesting, isn't it? I don't know who should host the damn thing, and neither do any of you. I mean, I'm full of fun, wry, acerbic wit, and cast a self-deprecating eye upon my quizzes, which lends an after-hours naughty but harmless feel to my show. Not to mention that I've got that thing that no one can quite put their finger on that sets men far below my league's loins on fire, the poor deluded souls. But I digress. It's all so baffling to me. I'm not sure it's right for me. Jeremy, you're not warm enough.
And here I was, thinking I was a delight.
John's getting on a bit, I'm afraid it has to be said. And this other one, he's not even a quiz host. It's a panel show, isn't it?
Fry, Cambridge.
Well, I rather think that's a trifle unfair. Your husband is here, and he's been on more panel shows than I've had hot dinners.
Mitchell, Cambridge.
Yes, but I'm not claiming any rights to host this new thing. I'm just here to support my wife.
Look, I think it is clear to all and sundry that I should be a valued member of the conglomerate of intellectuals, whether I host a quiz show, panel show, or a fucking bingo night. It would be a strange thing indeed not to include me. Furthermore, my gravitas as a host, combined with my fuzzy warm charm, make me, if not the number one contender, certainly a force to be reckoned with.
This is ridiculous. We're getting nowhere. Battle to the death.
Agreed. Battle to the death.
Battle to the death.
Battle to the death.
Oh, God, what have I gotten myself? Battle to the death.
And so the great thinkers battled on into the night. Lives were lost, blood was shed, and as they fought, nude as the day they were born, time seemed to slip away like a construct most fragile. And then, as if from nowhere, a dragon came and ate them. What a twist. The news flew and spread like the great fires of hell across all of the realms. So many fucking realms. The next to receive the news were the boggy cesspits of Tripe City, where the damned go to live out the rest of their unfortunate lives.
Our survey assays... Sorry, our island old friend. Looks like it's your turn to empty the slop bucket.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
No. I'm not a falling for that sheet again.
Well, fine. But if I'm mucking out the bucket, then Shepherd's got to go rat hunting again. I'm starving.
Frukio!
Why am I here? I'm quite respectable on morning telly.
Oh, please, Ben. Your show is the worst one of all of us. We've found your tipping point, mate. You'll do any old shit for enough money.
It's very popular, actually. At least there's genuine quiz questions.
Oh, barely. I've seen circus chimps can answer your questions right.
Frukio!
You're one to talk, mate. Work out the answer to a shitty rhyme, then trolley dash your way around a pathetic fake supermarket. Says a lot when someone's forced to pick up Dale Winton's scraps.
Frukio!
It's okay, Frukio. Keep her calm. Will you all stop this bickering? We must work together if any of us are going to bag Osmond's prime time slot. We have a huge advantage. We are very popular amongst the trolls and the ogres.
And benefit cheats.
Quite right. Luckily, we won't have to think about any dress code as we are all completely nude. But if we are to convince Osmond, we will need to play it cool, be sophisticated and demure. It will just take a little bit of respectability to...
Rat!
Frukio, why does he say that?
No one knows.
Hello, Auto. It's me, the bloke from Leeds with extremely questionable output. I cried about me racist stuff, but I've said nothing about how sexist the rest of my shit is. I'm off to gather two teams led by women so I can constantly comment on either how ugly they are or how much I want to smash their back doors in. I'm inexplicably popular.
Mr. Lemon.
Hello? Who goes there?
Tis I, a terrifying, murderous presence from your future. I have come to destroy all you hold dear.
You don't scare me, terrifying, murderous presence. All my doors are locked and I'm safe and secure.
Are you sure about that, Mr. Lemon?
Why, of course I... Wait... Oh no. Look out, it's coming through the keyhole. Frukio.
The terrifying presence swept in and destroyed all of Tripe City. Just as Frukio's premonition envisioned. Leaving nothing but death and destruction in its wake. All that was left was Stephen Mulhern. Nobody seemed to notice.
Master, Master, I have spread the news far and wide.
Excellent, Xander, excellent. Such good work calls for our signature catchphrase. That ain't bread.
That's toast. Forgive me, Master, but that really is an incredibly niche, pointless reference. Surely you don't expect anyone to get that.
Who cares, Xander, you dunderhead? The power that this quiz show brings me is enough to embolden me to say anything. Bums, titty fart pants McGraw. Now to check the answer phone and hear the floods of hosts baying for my elusive primetime slot.
You have no new messages.
I don't understand.
That's the thing, Master. Everyone's dead.
What? All of them? There's no one that can do it.
Well, there is Stephen Mulhern.
There's no one that can do it.
I'm afraid not, sir.
All this bloodshed. All this violence. I ask you, Xander, here and now, wet, shiny and nude, was it worth it? The pair sat and contemplated all that happened that day. Many marvelled at how quickly the story was told, as opposed to it dragging out for 73 massively long episodes. And as the dragon reared its head and ate them both instantly, it was heard upon the breeze that most agreed it to be one of the most unsatisfying endings there ever had been. Give me a zombie apocalypse based in Georgia any day.
Hey.
Good grief.
There we are.
My goodness gracious me. That was a travel, a journey, not a travel, yeah. A journey through British TV, if ever I bloody heard one.
Yes, yes. I did actually think about that a lot. So to any of our listeners not in the UK, I'm sorry.
Didn't think about that, actually.
Basically, all of that didn't make any sense.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, very British-centric story there.
Oh, they know Stephen Fry, though. They all know Stephen Fry.
Yeah, and by the way, I was doing Stephen Fry earlier on.
That was one of those things where I'm odd. I think if I've got a good impression, I can do a semi decent one. But if I don't have any sort of base for somebody, I cannot do it. I don't know what it is. If it's there's just something in my head that's blocking me from. Because we were having a brief little discussion there about my Richard Osman is not Richard Osman at all. It's just me.
But it's very difficult to nail down Osman's voice, isn't it? Mm. It's a bloke. I must have heard that man's voice near enough every day for about 10 years. Yeah, and I can't do his voice at all. Can't do his voice. Just cannot do it. And so I gave it to you.
and same, weirdly for me, and the one that actually frustrated me the most, because I originally was playing him, and then we swapped, you took it over and said, Stephen Fry. Yeah. Such a distinctive voice.
Yeah.
A voice that I can hear it in my head. You mentioned Stephen Fry, his voice is there. Hear it. But yeah, coming to record that, I couldn't.
Well, I think the listeners will agree that to a large degree, neither could I. And I also I want to say, I didn't take it from you because I was like, oh, I wasn't like, oh, this bloke can't do
it.
Oh,
no.
It's because he misread a line.
I missed a
and rather than get him to record it, I just was like, just for time's sake, I just did it. But I wish that I'd have given it to you because then you could have murdered Stephen Fry's voice instead of me.
when you said I'll do it, there was a part of me that was like, oh, thank God people don't have to hear my version of it.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your bit. But you said, what were you saying? Because the line is, I think that's a trifle unfair. And you said,
I think it's a trifling affair.
A trifle affair. A trifle affair. Did you just think that was just some English idyll that you'd never heard?
I think it might be one of those moments where I have them where my brain thinks I'm saying something, but my mouth is saying something completely different. It does happen to me quite a lot.
But it was a good. But yeah, so. Yeah, and then Ben Shepherd. I mean, I gave you all the fucking horrible ones, but. He's just a bloke, Ben Shepherd. There's nothing, there's nothing different about his voice.
No. And this is the thing. So I've watched video clips of him. Couldn't get it.
He does talk quite fast. I've noticed that.
He does.
In Tipping Point, it really looks like on Tipping Point, he's just desperate to get home. He's like, unfortunately, we have found your Tipping Point. That's it for today. Tipping Point, for anyone, is a program on ITV. where you answer questions and then put a little disc in a massive machine, and then it's like those 2p machines you get.
That's it. It's just one of those massive machines that you get at like Brighton Pier or whatever, where you put the coin in and it pushes things.
Yeah. And Ben Shepherd just stands there talking. I wonder which way it's going to go. Is it going to ride? Is it going to blah blah blah? Basically, just really having to talk about gravity for about an hour, which is essentially like. It could go either way because that's gravity.
Now, I was trying to remember because you asked me if I remembered who Stephen Mulhern is, and I've looked him up. I've looked him up again just to remind myself. And because as soon as you said the name again, because I looked it up when you mentioned it in the script, and I only recently was acquainted with the show that he hosts. What's it called? Is it Catchphrase?
Catchphrase, yeah.
I'm sorry to any fans out there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't deal with it.
Really not.
Those weird animations of that guy. Who's the guy?
Mr. Chips.
Mr. Chips?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get this whole Mr. Chips stuff.
What do you mean?
It's creepy. Like, why are grown people watching this going, oh, it's bloody Mr. Chips. That's quite nice, isn't it? Look, he's saying birds of a feather or something like that. Like, you know.
It's weird. I'm still not quite sure of your gripe. I think you need. Can we nail down what's wrong with Mr. Chips?
Mr. Chips looks like if Pixar hired an intern who he was related to somebody high up in Pixar. He wasn't any good. So he was already bad because he was an intern, but he didn't have any skills to begin with.
Right.
And so they said, oh, look, mate, look, we can't put you on Toy Story 5, but we can put you on Catchphrase. Which, I mean, fuck, it's just so... The animation's shocking. Sorry to the animators.
I think Mr. Chips looks a bit like if Homer Simpson and a tampon with some arms and legs went into the machine. If they went into the machine and the fly together.
I was literally going to say the fly. There's something so British about it, though.
Yeah,
this whole
well, it
Mr.
used to
Chips
be.
Thing, it's
it
so
was on for
British.
Ages. It used to be on before, and it used to yes. be the graphics were way different. Like, and I, it was less creepy before when it was like sort of 2D and a bit shoddy animation.
It was 2D, yeah.
And it was a bloke called Roy Walker, who's like everyone loves Roy Walker, right?
Right.
He goes, ah, it's good, but it's not right. And he goes, right, like that. And he was really 5 seconds. Here we go. And like he was really a great. Presenter, where Stephen Mulhern is really good at what he does, I would say, and I don't mean to be disparaging to Stephen Mulhern, but he does do any old shit all the time. Like, usually I'm like, oh look, this looks like a pile of wank. I imagine Stephen Mulhern will be presenting. He used to be on a show called Fingertips on CITV with Fern Cotton.
What
I really
was that
liked
about?
That. It was like for kids; they would like make stuff. That would, you know, like Art Attack kind of thing. They would
right.
We've made these little things, and it's really let's be industrious with toilet paper, you know, and that was quite good. I wonder, is he a magician as well? I don't know enough about Stephen Mulhern.
Oh, probably.
Or I know more than I should.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh my god! But yeah, so there you go. It's just a walk through for basic. Actually, no, it's a great thing for anybody who doesn't live in the UK. You're going to spend an entire day Googling some of these people, and it's going to be an education for you.
Yeah.
Checking out some of these shows. That's for sure.
Gino DeCampo's just started Family Fortunes.
That is
such an odd choice.
That is because he's a chef, right?
He's a chef, and he used to be a house burglar.
No.
Yeah, he robbed someone famous's house.
What?
I'll look it up for the further readings because I can't remember who it was, but it's someone mad like Chris Rea. It's not Chris Rea, but it's something like that. And yeah, he robbed their house. He used to be a burglar.
Oh my god! Do you have a? I mean, you said you're going to look it up, but off the top of your head, do you know how long before he was a famous chef? He was a house burglar.
I think he was young. So
right,
you know. But yeah,
that is amazing.
Yeah. So he's done it all. From burglary to family fortune.
To family fortunes. I would have probably, I don't know. The less said about family fortunes, the better, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's another odd one. That's what's it in
my
America
mum wants
again?
To go
family,
on family
Feud, I think.
Family Feud!
Or something like that, yeah.
My mum wants to go on Family Fortunes.
How well do you think you guys would do? That's
a
good question.
I don't know, mate. I mean, I don't know. I think I'd find it the hardest to just be warm all the way through the episode. Just be a nice man.
Hi, Gino. Fuck off, Gino.
I just like, oh god. And always, I mean, not to get into too much of the nitty gritty of family fortunes, but you get the top answer, and then they say, "Do you want?" Oh, something's fallen over. And then they say, "Do you want to play or pass?" I would always say pass. Because no one ever gets a full run, very rarely.
I still don't fully understand the show, if I'm going to be honest with you. I get like there's a survey, and it's kind of like a pointless sort of thing where you say the answer, and
it's
the opposite.
It's reverse pointless.
Yeah.
It's reverse pointless. That's all it is. They asked gave 100 people. They asked 100 people name, you know, something red.
Yes.
And most of them would have said, I don't know, Rudolph's nose or something. And then
there's
right at the
a
bottom,
naughty answer, isn't there? There's always,
yeah,
there's
three
always the
people
one
said a
member.
Ball bag. Ooh.
Yeah. And Gino's there. You can't say this. Oh my God. Just like that.
Yeah, Gino was one of the characters that we didn't name him before he spoke. I got a bit worried that people just thought, why is the Pope in this again?
Yeah. Oh, God. Now, Howard, actually, I do need to ask you this before we do anything else. You know, you say that you don't know anything really about Game of Thrones, you hate your fantasy, blah, da, 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 da. However, you do have, for somebody who, if somebody doesn't have much Game of Thrones knowledge, you have a reference in there that is quite, you know, not necessarily you have to be an in-depth fan, but you'd have to have been following along for a bit to know. The whole Through the Keyhole thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Being
the
Hodor.
Hodor,
the whole Hodor, yeah.
I just heard about it.
You just heard about it?
Yeah, or I might have seen a clip on Gogglebox or something. Like, I do know stuff, but I've not seen it.
Sure you weren't secretly just, you know, in the middle of the night, deleting your browser history, looking at clips?
Oh, God. I'm rumbled. I'm rumbled. I love swords.
Game of Thrones highlights.
I love horrible ice-eyed men. I love them. I love Maisie Ridley. What's her name?
I don't know.
I thought I should put a reference to Game of Thrones in there.
Absolutely.
And that was the only one I really knew much about. Because people go on about it. There was a time when the last season was happening where it was so... I couldn't talk to anyone about anything because inevitably Game of Thrones would come up. And it was fucking dull. So yeah, I know about certain things such as Hodor.
Hodor.
Hold the door. And when I heard... And like that... And Sam, that is shit, is it not?
It's... I mean...
Hold the door. Hold
from the
door.
Yeah, from the hold outside. Door. It's when you're not invested in it, it sounds really stupid, it's which is fair
dumb.
Enough. I'll put my hands up and say, but if you followed this character for how many years? Is it now 6-7 years by this point? Because I think
and there's all he's ever said was Hodor. Is that right?
Oh yeah, just says Hodor, 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 Hodor. That's all he says.
Right.
And then you get these little flashbacks during the series, because you see him as a little kid. And then, yeah, it turns out it's just this big, weird, psychic trauma thing, how, as a kid, he predicted in the future that he would be holding the door for these people. Like,
yeah.
When all the I think it's the zombie people are coming for them. Right. So he's basically just got this trauma that he... It's a bit weird, because it's like, well, he knows the trauma's coming, but so he's already been traumatized by it, so that all he can ever say is Hodor, Hodor, Hodor.
Yeah.
Hodor.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, so... It was both sad, but also a beautiful moment because he saved his friends, Howard. So,
well done, Hodor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So my Hodor didn't save anyone.
No.
I guess I did. I got that wrong then, I suppose.
But
did,
I mean,
did you imagine him? Did you imagine Keith Lemon on the floor twitching, going "Flocio" at the end? That's what you're supposed to imagine.
You do a very good Keith Lemon, by the way. I have to say, it's a very
thank
good
you.
Keith Lemon.
I wish he didn't.
Oh yeah, well yeah, it's all right. It's good. I mean, I was quite happy with a lot of the impressions today.
Hmm.
It remains to be said. I quite like my Victoria Corrin Mitchell.
Yes, yep, very good.
It's more her kind of energy that I think I captured. Do you ever watch Only Connect?
Oh yeah,
oh, I love it, mate.
I only discovered it about a month or so ago, and now. Yeah, I watch it to just sort of like ruin my own brain because I'm sitting there going,
so hard, man. No. It's a good day. Basically, it's a good day if you get about 3 or 4 questions, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know and how then, these people do it. They're so confident and then they get it right. And I'm like, that's just ridiculous.
They're just really clever. I love it. I really love it. Because you have to think quite laterally as well. It's,
yes.
It's the cryptic crossword of game shows, really,
yeah.
I would say. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I do love quiz shows. I love quiz shows. I even watch the shitty, you know, the sickly ITV ones. I don't watch Family Fortunes. I don't watch Celebrity, what is it called? The Supermarket Sweep or anything.
But no, I've never seen that either.
I have been known to watch Tipping Point. I watch The Chase. I watch Pointless.
I love The Chase. I love The Chase. Don't know why. There's something about The Chase. I love it.
It's good fun, man. It's good fun.
And all the chasers seem like really... fun people. Like, genuinely, I want to meet all the chasers.
I have a question about The Chase, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if you were to get a calculator, I wonder how much the total sum of money that all those chasers have fought really hard to take away from charities.
That's, yes, yes.
Because they do the celebrity chase and all the money goes to charity and their job is to stop that money going to charity.
There was one a few weeks ago where it was about like £85,000 or something like that and it got to the final question in the last 2 seconds and it was like they could just go deliberately say the wrong thing. They could.
Yeah, they could, yeah.
Just give the £85,000 to charity. But they didn't.
How do they sleep at night?
What? This is so
crazy.
How
do they sleep at night? Ridiculous. This leukemia patient needs a new bed to sleep in. Well, I don't care about that because I know quite a lot about the Ottoman Empire. So who's winning?
ridiculous.
Oh my god, it's so true though that like you've got like just thousands, tens of thousands of pounds on the table,
and they
just
won't
let it go.
That they've systematically like ripped out of orphans' hands. You know what I mean?
And also because it's also for multiple charities as well, so you've got these celebrities listing off all these wonderful causes tens of thousands of pounds can go for, and the chaser's just sitting there going, not going to get it. Sorry, mate. No.
You should have thought about that before you didn't think about state capitals. Sorry. Looks like Jenny's not getting a new lung. It's extraordinary. I don't know how I would feel as it's their job or whatever, but it's very amusing.
It's their job to not allow charities to get money.
That's their job. That's what they're paid. They're paid to do that.
This is the ITV execs. Now you listen here. Yeah, if Great Ormond Street Hospital get a dime out of us,
it's
you are done
unbelievable.
For. You are out of this gig.
At like a dinner party, what do you do? Oh well, I'm a brain surgeon. Oh yeah, what do you do? Yeah. Well, I help fund education in Africa. What do you do? I make sure that charities don't get money. Sorry? Yeah, no, you heard me right. Yeah, I am the sole reason for charities not getting more money than they eventually end up getting. Yeah,
but wow. I can name every single song on the Hootie and the Blowfish sophomore album. So
very, very good. I can tell you that. McKinley is the president on the $500 bill. That's true. But did you enjoy it?
No, I enjoyed it very, very, very much. What I really did like as well was the soundscapes that you managed to create. They were very fantasy-esque with the swords clanging and the dragons are roaring and the horses clippity-cloppeting to stops and to starts and snorting and all that jazz. It was very impressive.
That's really kind of you. I really enjoyed doing that, actually. There's a three-pronged approach to my editing process, and it goes, get all the lines in the right place, then put the sound effects in, and then do the soundscapes, like the beds. So, like, make it sound like you're in a castle, make it sound like you're in a boggy kind of area. And then, I suppose the fourth prong would then be music.
Yeah.
Just a little glimpse behind the curtain, kids. But yeah, I really enjoyed it this week. Yeah. I was a bit worried about the crackly sound of the fire whenever we were in Osmond and Armstrong's castle. So I thought maybe people would think, why does it sound like we're listening to an old record? But it was fire.
It's all right, mate. It's all good. I knew it was fire, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, okay. I'm only doing it for you anyway.
Well, I think that talk of fire is giving me a little light up the bum to get this thing finished, Howard, I'd say.
I agree with you. Well, Sam, would you like a title for 2 weeks' time?
Oh, my goodness, Howard. I would like nothing more, please.
Well then, Sam, I'll give you one.
Oh, my God.
Now, are you ready to take yourself, if you've a mind to... back to your old fucking booty rooty rooty tooties, Samuel Sheldon, because Frank Baum would like to describe you as the Wizard of Oz, and I would like you to do a little version of Wizard of Oz for our listening pleasure.
I would absolutely love to do that, Dal. That would be absolutely fantastic. However, I do feel like you've kind of stuck me in a corner because I've got no other choice but to make it a little bit slightly Australian with that one, with that bloody title.
Well, you don't have to.
I could base it all on the characters of Frank Oz. That could be...
That would be wicked.
Kermit?
Yeah, Yoda and Fozzie.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's your call.
That's an option. I can do whatever
I
want. No spoilers. No one can tell me what to do. Yeah. I'll do it all.
So, yeah.
You'll see.
Wizard of Oz, mate. I hope you enjoy doing that.
I'm excited to give that a whirl. I am so excited.
Okay, well.
Can't hide it. Okay, sorry.
Literal titlets. Thank you. again for sticking with us and listening to this week's A Game of Thrones by H.G. Rater. If you want to get in contact with us, you can, and that's a good thing. The ways that you do that are, number one, Twitter. You can reach us at LiteralLitPod, capital L, literal, capital L, it, capital P, odd. You can find us on Instagram at LiteralLiteraturePod. You can email us, Grandad. The email address is literalliterature.podcast@gmail.com. And you will find me and Sam swimming in the ocean, looking at the dolphins, and they're looking right back. Oh no, it's a shark, and we're dead. Oh God, that wasn't great, but I'm sticking with it. Thank you very much.
Love it. Well, there you go. I think that is a fantastic way to wrap up this epic episode of Literal Literature. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're enjoying it. And I guess all there's left to say, everyone, is a book bag.